Turning your Bibles to Romans chapter 8, we continue, of course, our study of Paul's letter to the church at Rome. And this powerful letter gives us some great truths, truths that we need truths about salvation and the Christian life and even future events. Now, this morning, as we continue, we're going to see God works in our lives. In fact, two ways. God's work in us, God's work for us. We're going to see God's work in us. We're dealing with prayer and in God's work for us as He works out His perfect sovereign plan. Now, as we look at this section, we're going to see great truths that not only challenge our thinking. There's some things that you're going to have to think about, but also at the same time, they're very comforting. Do you realize that the Holy Spirit prays for you? Do we realize that God is working in all the events of our lives? And do we understand that the sovereign God, that God has a sovereign plan for each of us? There is so much. We want to gain understanding of these biblical truths, and may we be comforted and encouraged as we look at our passage this morning. You know, life is full of ups and downs. Sometimes things seem to go good, great, and then sometimes things seem to go so badly. I mean, what happens? How do you respond when everything seems to go wrong? How do you deal with a bad day? Clara Noel of Oklahoma City said this. She said it was one of those worst days. The washing machine had broken down. The telephone just kept ringing. The mail was full of bills. I was at the breaking point. I lifted my one-year-old son into his high chair. I leaned my head against the tray, and I began to cry. Without a word, my son took out his pacifier and put it into my mouth. Well, I guess that's one way to deal with a bad day. What do you do? What do we do when things go wrong? How should we respond? How should we think? Is God in control? Do we believe that God is working in every event? True story. I read of a woman who was parked outside a clothing store. She was in there buying some clothes, and as she was leaving with her purchase, the store alarm went off. Clerk came over, they'd failed to get that tag thing off, and they couldn't get it off, and they were working to get it off, and she was getting angrier and angrier. And she said, I need to get out of here. She was mad. She looked at the clerk and said, I need to be in my car right now. And just that time, a truck crashed into her car, crushing the driver's side. Suddenly, she was thankful for the tag on her clothes. Is God really in control? Does He work all things together for good? Is there fate or chance or luck? Or do we have a perfect sovereign God who works all events according to the counsel of His will? As we study Romans chapter 8 this morning, we're going to see a famous verse, a verse that many of us have used at many times for comfort. It says, God causes all things to work together for good, those that love Him, those that are called according to His purpose. Do we believe that? May we be comforted this morning as we study a powerful section of God's Word dealing with the sovereign working of God. Now, you're going to be challenged by some of the things we see in the passage. Well, let's begin. We're thinking about this foundational book, the book of Romans. It's the great book of the New Testament. We see truth dealing with salvation and Christian life and future. We see man's sin and God's grace. But we're looking at the section, which is chapter 6, 7, and 8, which deals with the Christian life and how we can have victory as we seek to live for Christ even right now. This morning, two things. I mentioned them earlier. Two things. One is God's work in us, and the other thing is God's work for us. His work in us is prayer. It's the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And then the second thing is God's work for us. It's just going to be this sovereign plan, both now and in the future, that God is doing. As we see this, we want to rest in the security of our Savior, security of our God, knowing that He's working all things in us and for us. Let's think back for a minute. In Romans chapter 6, we saw that we died and rose again with Christ to a new life. We're new people. In chapter 7, we saw the conflict between the flesh and the spirit and all that battle inside. And then at the beginning of Romans chapter 8, we talked about that it said there are two walks, two minds, two obligations, two ways to live, two ways to think, two obligations to go by. That was pretty powerful. But then as we've gotten into Romans chapter 8, and you know, Romans 8 is an incredible passage, incredible chapter, because it begins with security of the believer and it ends with the security of the believer. If we've gone through the chapter, we've been encouraged as we are seeing great truth concerning our relationship and fellowship with God. First of all, we saw just a couple of weeks ago, that we are children of God. By faith in Jesus Christ, we're God's children. John 1:12 says, as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God. We saw that. This passage actually said that we can call God Daddy. It said Abba Father, and that's an incredible truth that you and I can come to God anytime we want to, as if we jump into his lap because he's our daddy. And then as we studied, we saw that we were heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. We're heirs of God by faith. When we trust in Jesus Christ as Savior, we're children of God. And he says, if children, we're heirs of God. He has an inheritance for us. The passage went on to say that we're also fellow heirs with Christ if, conditional, if we serve him. Great truths. And then last week, as we go through this chapter, we saw that God's going to change some things. That when Jesus Christ comes back to this earth, he's going to change this earth, which, as the passage says, is groaning in corruption. It's a decaying, dying world. He's going to change it. And then he's going to take us, who are dying people, and he's going to change us and give us a body that will never wear out. Powerful passage. We saw that. Now, our goal, of course, when we look at all this, is to walk worthy of the call in which we've been called, to live out in our lives in the power of the Holy Spirit and make an impact for Christ. But as we continue this morning, he's going to tell us what God is doing in us and what God is doing for us. And there's some powerful things here. In fact, some hard stuff. Of course, we said all the way through the book of Romans. The book of Romans is hard. I mean, if we think this is hard, wait till we get to chapters 9, 10, and 11. So there's a lot of hard things in the book of Romans. Now, we're going to see two things this morning. First, what's he doing in us? It has to do with prayer. And then, what is he doing for us? Not only now, but in the future. So let's start with, what is he doing in us? That's verse 26. Look what he says. He says, in the same way, the Spirit also helps our weakness. For we do not know how to pray as we should, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. Now, he starts off the verse by saying, in the same way. And, of course, he's referring back to verses 23, 24, 25, in which he talked about we're looking forward to the coming of Jesus, and he's going to change us, and we have that hope called the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of Christ. And so he says, in the same way that we have that hope, we have this. In the same way, the Spirit also helps our weakness. Now, he's talking about the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit helps our weakness. And the Greek literally says, he is partners with us. We know that every one of us who have trusted in Jesus Christ have the Holy Spirit inside of us. Romans 8:9 says, you have the Spirit. 1 Corinthians 6:19 says, what do you not know? Your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. So we have the Holy Spirit inside of us. And he says here, in the same way the Spirit is working with us, is helping us. Well, helping us what? It says, in the same way the Spirit helps our weakness. What weakness? Well, in the context of the passage, if we read it, as we read it a while ago, in the context of the passage, it's weakness in prayer. Because notice what he goes on to say. In the same way, the Spirit also helps our weakness, for we do not know how to pray as we should. Well, we don't. Let's think about prayer for a minute. We don't know how to pray as we should, and we're going to come back to this aspect of what does that mean. But let's think about prayer for a minute. What is prayer? Prayer is simply talking to God. And see, God talks to us through the Word. We study the Word of God, and we see what he has given to us in a written revelation. And then we talk to God. That's prayer. And we can come boldly to the throne of grace. We can come to him anytime, anywhere, any place, about anything. You know, you find in the Bible that there are a number of words for prayer, different types of prayer. I think if we've got our head working, there are five different types of prayer, at least five. I'm just giving these five big ones. 1 Timothy 4, Ephesians 4, I think is 1 John chapter 1. We'll see those. Let me give them to you. You can write them down or not. It doesn't matter, but I'm going to not go into detail on this. But when you pray, you can pray to God by petition, intercession, worship, thanksgiving, or confession. Those are five words that you'll find in the New Testament for prayer. Now, petition means just what we think it means. It means asking for something. So many times we think that prayer is we got to go to God and ask him for something. Well, you can. He says, be anxious for nothing, but everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your request, your petitions be made known to God. So you can come to him anytime about anything. The second word is intercession. That really means to pray for somebody else. We do that all the time. People say, look, I'm going to be doing this. Will you pray for me? Oh, yeah, I'll pray for you. That's intercession. The third word is the word worship. It's a Greek word prosukeme, which literally means to bow your face down. It's an idea that when you come to God, you're not coming to him asking for something. You're coming to him worshiping him for who he is. And then there's another word, thanksgiving, which means you're thankful to God. You come to God and you're thanking Him for what He's done. And then the last one is the word confession, homologeo, which means to say the same thing. It means you tell on yourself. If you confess your sins, He's faithful and just to forgive you and cleanse you. So in the Bible, just in the New Testament alone, there are five different words that show us five different ways you can come to God. You can pray, ask for something for yourself, ask for something for somebody else, worship God, be thankful to God, or deal with sin. Now, with that in mind, we can pray to God about anything, anytime, any place. But we are weak. He says, in the same way, the Spirit helps our weakness. What's our weakness? Well, we don't know how to pray as we should. We don't know what to pray for sometimes. You know, in our lives, there are things happen. And we go, I don't know what to do. Lord, I don't know what to do. I don't know what you want me to do. We don't know God's plan. We don't know what might be best. We don't know what God is working. So sometimes we don't even know what to pray for. But this passage tells us the Holy Spirit inside of you is there to help you. Notice what it says. In the same way, the Holy Spirit helps our weakness in prayer, because we don't know how to pray as we should. But the Holy Spirit Himself intercedes for us. The Holy Spirit, actually, the Greek word for intercede means to plead. He actually is the go-between. He knows what we need. He intercedes for us. Realize that when we pray to the Father in the name of the Son in the power of the Spirit. You're to pray to your Heavenly Father in the name of the Son, Jesus Christ, because the only right you have to approach the Father is through the Son. He's the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through Him. And then we come in the power, we pray in the power of the Holy Spirit, who is inside of us making intercession. Notice what he says. He says, the Spirit Himself intercedes for us. Now, He is there praying for you. Sometimes we don't even know what to pray for. Sometimes we think we do. Sometimes we pray and the Holy Spirit says, you don't know. Let me give a better prayer. Because you don't know what you're asking for. We don't even know. There are times in our life we prayed for something, we didn't get it. We look back later and we go, boy, I'm glad I didn't get that. Holy Spirit says, I know. The Holy Spirit helps our weakness because we don't even know what to pray for, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us. Notice, with groanings too deep for words. Now, the word groan there is the word for sigh, and it's the same word back in verse 22 when it says the whole world groans. It's the idea of sighing. It's the Holy Spirit is lifting up, pleading, sighing to God. And notice what it says, with groanings too deep for words. The word too deep means inexpressible. That means they're not words. It's what the Holy Spirit does inside of us. There's some people who will read that verse and they'll say, that means like praying in tongues. That's not what it's talking about at all. There's not any words here. There's not an expression here. It's inexpressible for words is what it literally says. It's the Holy Spirit praying inside of us. As we go through life, we don't know what's best. We don't know what to pray for. But the Holy Spirit is inside of us making intercession. You know, if that was all, that'd be great. But that's not all. Wait till you get to the next verse. There's some more. Look what else he says. And He who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because He intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. Now this He we're going to see is Jesus Christ. It's our Savior. He searches the hearts, knows what the mind of the Spirit is. Now I want you to understand the Son is also our intercessor. This passage says that the Holy Spirit is inside of us making intercession. You already know from other places of the Bible that Jesus Christ is seated at the right hand of the Father making intercession. Hebrews 7:25 says He lives forever to make intercession for us. 1 John 2 verses 1 and 2 says, my little children, do not sin. If you sin, you have an advocate, an intercessor with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. We understand that we have Jesus Christ sitting at the right hand of the Father making intercession for us. We have the Holy Spirit inside of us when we pray making intercession for us. That's incredible. Look what he says. And he, that's Jesus Christ, who searches the hearts, he knows us. He also knows what the mind of the Spirit is. Now he knows what the Spirit thinks. See, the Spirit's inside of us, and the Spirit is helping us because we don't know what to pray for. He is helping our weakness and making intercession for us. And at the same time, the Son knows what the Holy Spirit thinks, and he also knows our hearts, and he's making intercession for us. Notice what it says. He intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. Do you realize that when you pray, and you may not even know what to pray for, when you pray, the Holy Spirit is inside you making intercession for you. And the Son, Jesus Christ, is seated at the right hand of the Father, who knows what the Spirit thinks and knows your heart, and He's making intercession to God for you. And if you notice the passage, it says, according to the will of God. Because we don't always know the will of God. There are a lot of things He hadn't revealed to us, what He's going to do and what His plans are. So we lift up our prayer request. That's why He says, be anxious for nothing, but everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your hearts and mind in Christ Jesus. The Spirit and the Son are interceding for each of us in this room when we lift up our prayers to God. It's an incredible truth. In summary, Holy Spirit intercedes for us. Son knows the Spirit. He knows our hearts. He intercedes for us according to the will of God. When we pray, sometimes we don't even know what we should lift up, but they do. So what should we do? We should come boldly unto the throne of grace. We should let our requests be made known. We should pray without ceasing. We should be men and women of prayer. We should be lifting up our voices to God and saying, God, I don't know your plan. We just want it to be according to your will. But this is what, Lord, you've told me to let my request be made known. And so here it is. And the Holy Spirit is inside you saying, here it is. And the Son is saying, here it is. Do you realize you're never alone when you pray? The Son and the Spirit are praying with you and interceding for you. We ought to be men and women of prayer. You know, we made some changes on Wednesday night, the way we do Wednesday night now, and we break into two different groups to do some prayer and things. And to be honest with you, the first time we did it, we had 10 times more people praying than we'd had in the past. 10 times. It's an incredible thing. Men, this week, Thursday morning, we get a chance as men to come together and pray at the Best Western. We call it the prayer breakfast. We eat, but we also pray. We need to be men and women of prayer because you know what? No matter what you're praying, no matter where you are, the Holy Spirit is making intercession and the Son is making intercession for you. This is what God does in you. Now, we're not through because now the rest of this passage, we're going to see the next two or three verses. We're going to see what God does for us. We've seen what He does in us. What does He do for us? Now, I'm going to look at verse 28, and I'm going to go into pretty good detail there. 29 and 30, I'm just going to touch on them this week. They have some terms in there which bother a lot of people. And we're going to look at them. We're going to touch on them this morning. And then next week, we're really going to go into some detail. What does He do for us? The first is, what does He do for us now? I want you to see. Look at verse 28. It's a famous verse. And we know that God causes all things to work together for good. Those who love God, those who are called according to His purpose. Now, we know this. This is what the Scripture tells us. We know that God causes, you might even say it this way, works all things together for good. Now, do you believe that? God works all things together for good. Why is that true? I want you to know, number one, it's because He's a sovereign God who's all-powerful. And number two, it's because He is a good God. He's a good God. Let's think about the sovereignty for a second. Look, there's no such thing as fate chance. No such thing whatsoever. There's no such thing as luck. You don't say, what bad luck I'm having. There's no such thing as luck. You have a God who rules this universe, who works all things according to the counsel of His will, Ephesians 1:11. He is the sovereign ruler. Psalm 139 says that even before He made you, before He formed you in your mother's womb, He already planned every day of your life. That's what it says. Look it up. Psalm 139. It's powerful. We have a God who works all things. If we come out and we have a flat tire, we can't say, oh, what bad luck, I got a flat tire. There is no such thing as luck. Every event, every circumstance that comes into your life comes because your loving Heavenly Father allowed that in His plan for your life to come into your life. He is a sovereign God. He is a good God. He can do no wrong. He can do no evil. He even takes evil things and works it for good. That's the kind of God we have. Look what He says. We know that God causes all things to work together for good. He didn't say all things were good. He said, all things will work together for good. You know what? In this lifetime, you may never see the good. You may never see it. That doesn't mean God's not going to take it and work for good. We just may not see it. We have to trust our Heavenly Father, who is sovereign and all-powerful and working in our lives. We have to trust Him when things seem not to be good. And there are going to be things in our lives that we'd say, that's not a good thing at all. But we have to trust that God's going to take that event and use it for His good. Look what he says. We know that God causes all things, not just some things, not some of the big things, all things to work together for good. And then he says two things here. To those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. Who loves God? Well, the truth is, all those who have believed in Jesus Christ are called the ones who love God. In fact, the Bible says we love Him because He first loved us. And this is why, not that we love God, but God loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation, the satisfactory payment for our sin. We are called those who love God, those who are believers. But notice, it's not only those who love Him, but it says those who are called according to His purpose. Believers, all of us as believers, are called into His purpose and plan. He has a plan and purpose for this world. He has a plan and purpose for this universe. He has a plan and purpose for all people. He has a plan and purpose individually for your life. And He is working it all. And we know that God causes everything, all things, to work together for good. Those that love Him, the believers, those that are called according to His purpose, that is us. Because I don't know how He does all that He does, but let me tell you this, I would much rather be in the hands of a loving, sovereign, perfect God than left to myself. There's no chance. There's no fate. There's no luck. God's sovereign. Can we trust a God who is perfect, all-powerful, and loving? We don't know what the future holds, but we know who holds the future. There's not any doubt. Well, God is working in our lives right now. Every event, those who are called according to His purpose. Now, let me ask you something. What exactly is His purpose for us? What's His plan? What's He doing? Well, I want you to know that in verses 29 and 30, there are five words that He uses. All I'm going to do is I'm going to go over them in a second. We're going to put them up on the overhead in just a second. And then we're going to talk through them briefly. Next week, we're going to go back and look at these five words. The reason we're going to do that is because I think this morning, I want you to see them. I want you to see the flow. And then I want you maybe have some time to look over this next week to see how it fits together. Because some of these words, people don't like. They don't like them. Bothers them. And sometimes some of these words people have misinterpreted what they mean. So let me give them to you. Look at this. Verse 29 says, for those whom He foreknew, that's the first word, foreknew, He also predestined, that's the second word, to predestine, to be conformed to the image of His Son, so He'd be the firstborn among many brethren. And those whom He predestined, He also called, that's the third word. And those He called, He also justified. That's the fourth word. And those whom He justified, He also glorified. That's the fifth word. His plan and purpose are laid out in these five words. Let's put them, if we got the slide, let's put them up there for a second. I just want you to see them and don't get all bothered about them because they're not really bad. They're good. Let me show you how they fit. First of all, foreknew, they're all past tense, by the way, in this passage. To foreknew, to predestine, to call, He called, justified, glorified. All past tense because in the plan of God, everything's already done as far as He's concerned. Now, He deals with us in time, and some of these are going to be worked out. To foreknow means to know beforehand. That's all it means. People want to make it say something else. It doesn't say something else. It means to know beforehand. And by the way, since God's God, He knows everything beforehand. Right? Second, predestined simply means to plan beforehand. To predestine something means I'm going to plan this ahead of time. That's what predestined means. Third, the word called. Now, this is a unique word. It can mean to be invite, to invite somebody, or to choose. It could mean the idea that we're called saints and it has to do with a name. It could be that we're invited to come over here. It could even mean that we're chosen. We'll talk about that next week, how it fits. The fourth word is the word justified, which means to be declared righteous. We've seen it all through the book of Romans in chapter 3 and chapter 4 and even chapter 5. We're justified by faith. Romans 5:1 says, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God. We're declared to be righteous. And then the last word is the word glorified. It's past tense in this passage, but we know glorified means to be brought into glory or completed. Last couple of weeks, we talked about God's three-phase plan of salvation: justification, sanctification, and glorification. This is that idea that God's going to take us and He's going to bring everything to completion. So when you look at Romans 8 and these five words that Paul uses and says, He foreknew, He predestined, He called, He justified, He glorified. This is how He deals with us. This is His plan and purpose. We are called according to His purpose. Well, let's see what it is. I'm going to go very quickly. Next week, a lot of details. Look at verse 29. For those whom He foreknew. Foreknew means to know something beforehand. Now, notice it didn't say what He foreknew. It's talking about people. It says for those whom He foreknew. He's talking about people. I think He's talking about those who are His children, those who would believe in Jesus Christ as Savior. That's what I think He's talking about. We'll get more detail next week. Those He foreknew, those He knew that would become believers or would trust in Jesus as Savior, He also predestined. Remember, predestined means to plan beforehand. Now, I've had some people say, well, doesn't God, the Bible say God predestined people to be saved? This passage doesn't say that. It says He people that He knew beforehand, He predestined what? That they would be conformed to the image of His Son. This passage says He planned before all of those that He knew ahead of time. I'm talking about, I think we're talking about His children, all of us who believe in Jesus. His plan is that we would become like Christ. That's the plan. That's what it means to be conformed to the image of His Son. Now, there's more, and we'll see more detail next week. Look at the third one. And it goes on to down and talks about that He'll be the firstborn among many brethren, and we'll talk about that next week. The He there is Jesus, and we'll see how it fits. Then the third thing, it says He predestined, those He predestined, He also called. Now, as I said a while ago, this can mean two things. It can mean to be invited, like invited to a party. It can mean to be chosen. It really goes together, and we'll talk more about it. But this, I think, means to be called into a relationship with Christ. So He knew us. He planned we'd be like Christ. He called us into a relationship with Christ. We'll see more next week. The fourth one is those He called, He also justified to be declared righteous. We're declared righteous by faith. When you believe in Jesus Christ as Savior, you're called into that relationship. He already knew you. He planned you'd be conformed to the image of the Son, and He declares you righteous. That's what justification means. And then there's one more. Because He has the whole plan here. Even though for us, this part hadn't happened yet, but far as God is concerned, it's all happened. Because He's worked it all. He's outside of time. Look what it says. He also glorified. That means to bring to glory. We saw last week that we're going to have new bodies, a new home, and He's got a complete plan for us. And so, for those He knew beforehand, us, He planned we'd be like Jesus. He's called us into a relationship with Christ. He has declared us righteous, justified us, and He has brought us to glory. It's powerful. There's a lot there. Words like called, predestined, foreknew, people really get bent out of shape on those. And they form entire theologies based on words, giving them different meanings than what the Scripture actually says. So we'll look at this more detail next week. I just want you to see His plan. Well, let's rest in the fact that God is working not only now in all events for good, but forever in His plan. Now, what have we seen? God is working, first of all, in us. Works in us with the Holy Spirit and the Son praying for us, making intercession for us. And then we see that God has worked for us, not only in every event now for good, but through His whole plan of knowing us, planning, calling, justifying, glorifying. It's powerful. Let me give you some applications. Now, as you look at this, and there's so many things in here, and as the weeks go by, especially when we get into Romans 9, 10, and 11, if you have questions, we don't have question and answer on Sunday morning. We do in Sunday school Sunday night and Wednesday night. But sometimes on Sunday morning, we just don't have time to do the question thing. But if you've got questions, don't hesitate to call me. Don't hesitate to say, what did you mean by that? I don't understand what you're saying. Or you can get some notes, get anything, but let us know. Let me give you some applications. First one is, let's come boldly unto the throne of grace. Let's lift up our prayer request. Let's lift up our intercessions. Let's keep on praying. We don't always know what's best to pray. We don't know what God is doing and what He wants to do, but we can come boldly into the throne of grace. Why? Because A, The Holy Spirit makes intercession. He's inside of us. And it says we don't even know what to pray for, but the Holy Spirit helps our weakness. He makes intercession for us. And it's so powerful. But that's not all. B, the Son makes intercession for us. He sees the right hand of the Father. He lives forever to make intercession. He knows our hearts, and He knows the mind of the Spirit, and He makes intercession according to the will of God. So you can come anytime, any place, about anything. Don't ever be discouraged in prayer. We have the Son and the Holy Spirit making intercession for us. We need to be men and women of prayer and lifting it up, lifting up our petitions and our prayer requests and our intercessions and our worship and our praise and all of that to our great God. So don't be afraid. You're never by yourself. Don't be afraid when you say, I don't even know what to pray for. That's okay. Holy Spirit does and the Son does. Lift up your request to God. Second thing. Let's trust God in the events of life. Boy, there's a lot of ups and downs. In every one of our lives, there are going to be some things that are so great, we can't believe they're that great. And then there's going to be some things that are so bad, we can't hardly believe they're that bad. There are going to be ups and downs. But one thing for sure is trust Him, because it says He's going to work everything for good. It's all according to the counsel of His will and ultimately be good. Now, we may not ever see that good, but we're going to have to trust our God that whatever comes into our life, God is using that to shape us to be more and more like His Son, because that's what we've already seen. His plan, He's predestined us to be conformed to the image of His Son. So rest in our all-powerful God. No matter what happens, we have to trust Him because He's working all things for good. That takes us to the third thing, and that is realize God is working His complete plan for us. Rest in His sovereign plan. I mean, there's no chance or fate. God's working all things. He knows us. He foreknew us before we ever even created us. He knew us. He planned before that we'd be like Christ. He called us into a relationship with Himself. He has declared us to be righteous, and as far as He's concerned, we're already glorified. It's powerful. Realize He's working in your life. All is in His plan. All is in His time. And He works together. Because the Son and the Spirit make intercession for us. Let's be men and women of prayer, knowing that God is working in all events for good, and He will bring His plan for our lives to completion. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank You for these truths. We want to come boldly to the throne of grace. We want to come to You anytime, anyplace, anywhere, about anything. We know we can come right now. We know that we don't even know what to pray for, Lord. And yet when we do, the Holy Spirit helps our weakness, because He's right there making intercession for us. And the Son knows the mind of the Spirit. He knows our hearts. And He's right there making intercession for us. And so, Lord, we can come anytime. Never, we don't want to ever be discouraged, but we want to be men and women of prayer. May we lift up our quest to You. And, Lord, we have to trust You, because there's ups and downs, and there are things that are good and things that are bad. And Lord, we realize that You promise us, since You are the sovereign ruler of all things, and since You are good, that You're going to take every event and work it together for good. Lord, we just have to trust You, because we don't always see that, but we trust You. And Lord, we realize that You are working a plan that is just beyond comprehension, that You knew us and You planned and You called and You justified and You glorified. Lord, may we rest in You. Thank You that You are a God who loves us and You work all things. May we trust You daily. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.